South Australia will have an anti-corruption body in the form of an independent commission against corruption. It's something that his predecessor, Mike Rann, had resisted right through his premiership, but new Premier Jay Weatherill has made a commitment to that. And the man he's given the job of drawing up that legislation is his Deputy Premier, also the Attorney General, John Rau, who joins me now. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
This legislation, will it take the form of those in other states?
In broad terms, yes, but the actual details will be relevant to South Australia and consistent with the actual decisions made by Cabinet about the drafting of the legislation. But in broad terms, yes.
Which sort of professions will be covered, or what areas of South Australia and its public service will we be able to, I guess, make complaints about if we have concerns about corruption?
Well, we're talking here about the state government, local government, everything that's within the constitutional purview of the state to make laws about.
The Premier has made a commitment of $32 million over 5 years. Is that going to be enough?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the review that's been going on into this really has a history that goes back to May of last year when I indicated we'd prepare a discussion paper, which went out in November of last year. There was discussion about that until March when submissions closed. We've been looking at those and considering them since then, and that's given us the opportunity to far better cost exactly what the body would actually require to run, because we've got more idea now about exactly what the details would be. It was already in the budget for next year in any event, but we've had to revise those numbers because as it has turned out, we have given more resources to the body in order for it to be able to do what we think it needs to do.
The opposition, though, since that announcement, has highlighted that other states have spent considerably more money in the terms of millions of dollars, in some cases more, to fund their ICACs each year, and this is over 5 years. So what makes you think that this is going to be enough money?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the other states, like New South Wales, for example, has a population about 4 or 5 times of ours. And obviously you'd require some scaling back even to have an equivalent spend here to them. Secondly, not all of the other states have the other bodies that we have in place. For example, the Police Complaints Authority, not all of them have the same jurisdiction that we have with the Ombudsman, the expanded jurisdiction we're giving to the Auditor General under these proposals and so on. So unfortunately, people who just look at what is spent, say, in New South Wales, with what we're proposing are really comparing apples with oranges.
I'm speaking with the Attorney General, John Rau. Has it been decided at this stage, Attorney General, whether or not those cases that can come before an ICAC will be those that people have concerns about now, or will it just be from the start-up date? So I guess in a sense, will it be retrospective?
Well, I think the simple answer to that question is yes, it will be. The reason being that this is an investigative body. So in a sense, the best comparator for it is the National Crime Commission, which operates at a federal level, or the police anti-corruption branch or something of that nature. So they're able to look at any allegation of a criminal offence, and most of the serious allegations of criminal offences have no time limit at all. The only time limits that would be applying are the time limits that apply to any criminal offence as it is.
And what sort of time frame will it be to establish this independent commission against corruption? When will it be up and running?
Well, look, if we can get the legislation drafted as quickly as we hope, and that's going to be a big job, but that's what I'll be focusing on, and we get it through the Parliament, we'd like to see it ready to go by the beginning of July next year.
The fact that this has been one of the first things that the new Premier has established and announced, does it suggest that Mike Rann was on his own in not wanting to go forward with an independent commission against corruption?
Oh, look, I don't think it suggests anything necessarily about Mike. I think this process of investigation of this idea began under him, and there's no doubt that the new Premier has embraced this proposal and has indicated that he's a very enthusiastic supporter of it, but I don't think there's anything more that can be read into that.
John Rowe, just on another issue, Michael Atkinson has followed up his Freedom of Information request about Grace Portalacy with one about yourself. Your response to that?
Oh, look, I don't understand there's anything current. That is, I don't think there's anything outstanding that Michael's looking for from me. And he's entitled to seek whatever information he likes, and that's perfectly reasonable.
Can you reveal what it's in regards to?
I don't think that's really helpful. I mean, Michael can say what he wishes about it. It's a matter for him rather than for me at this stage, and I don't have any particular issue about it, and I'm surprised people are taking an interest in it.
John Rowe, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Bye. The Deputy Premier and Attorney General. Now, we've been talking about the Independent Commission Against Corruption, something many people have been calling for some time. Ralph Bonig is President of the Law Society of South Australia. Ralph, do you think this is something the legal profession will welcome?
Afternoon, Sonia. Afternoon, listeners. Certainly. We have been asking for a body such as this for a considerable period of time. The attorney was correct in that he had put out a discussion paper in relation to an Office of Public Integrity. We were happy to take that rather than nothing, but this is a step further towards a truly independent and properly funded body.
Do you believe it's properly funded?
Yeah, I heard what the attorney had to say about not comparing this with other states. The other thing that you need to bear in mind is that some of the big spending states have things such as their Serious and Organised Crime Task Force and other bodies bolted onto them, which chew up a huge amount of dollars and resources. So I think that for a state of this size, I mean, you don't know how much money it takes, but this is certainly a lot more money than was originally promised in the budget, and I'm sure the right amount of resourcing will be there.
I imagine you will have discussions with the Attorney General about how this legislation may be made up and what would be required. What sort of suggestions or advice would you provide off the top of your head now?
Well, I mean, I think when the first proposal came out for the Office of Public Integrity, and there were still calls for an ICAC in the real sense, I think what the public want to see is that it is independent, that it's transparent, that it can't be dictated to by government or ministers, that it is only answerable to the Parliament by way of annual reports, and that it is not over bureaucratic. So in other words, that people can access it easily and think and feel that they are having their problem dealt with straight away.
Ralph Bonig, thanks for your time, President of the Law Society of South Australia. And of course, watching this announcement with a great deal of interest has been the opposition. The state opposition leader, Isabel Redmond, joins me. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, Sonia, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Well, this is something you've been calling for some time.
For many years, Sonia, I introduced legislation to try to get an ICAC for this state in August of 2007, and so it's been part of our policy for a long time. And can I just say I'm gobsmacked, firstly with the backflip. This is a backflip with double pike and somersault, I suspect, given that John Rowe in May last year said in the Parliament, demands for the establishment of a state so-called ICAC have been noisy but unsupported by a substratum of fact or logic. In the absence of evidence, logic does not suggest the need for an ICAC. That was his response in May last year. And as for the cost, you know, when we introduced our ICAC, we based it very clearly on New South Wales model, which has investigation of corruption allegations, education and mechanisms to prevent it occurring in the first place through forensic accounting and computing stuff. And so it was a very basic thing. It didn't have the other add-ons that Ralph Bonig was just referring to. It then cost $15 million a year in New South Wales, and we said rather than have an argument with the government over the cost, we will adopt the New South Wales budget. And the government instantly started saying, oh no, it would cost $30 million to have this. So suddenly, when they're introducing it, it's going to cost a lot less than New South Wales because of our smaller population. But when we tried to introduce it, it was going to cost double what New South Wales cost. It just shows the absolute contempt with which this government treats the people of this state.
Moving on from the cost, the structure that you've heard announced today, do you think that fits the model that we need here in South Australia?
Look, the key question, I guess, is that the attorney was then talking about the criminal aspects and, you know, the need for criminal offences and the time limits and so on. And the big question is, is it going to remove the element that's in this state still necessary, and that is of the criminality of the action, so that it would be actionable under other parts of our criminal law, because a lot of corruption can occur without it being an identifiable criminal offence, and therein lies the difficulty. And I think that's been a major stumbling block in South Australia. So we still need to see the legislation to be satisfied that it is in fact going to have the capacity to deal with corruption. And as I said, we proposed a model that had the ability to investigate all allegations of corruption through all government departments, local councils and any NGOs that are financed by the government and so on, agencies and so on, that has the capacity to educate the public at large and the public service and indeed all the politicians, but also this important component of forensic analysis of our systems to make sure that we minimise the chance of corruption occurring. Because people are aware of, you know, years ago when you had an organisation, people countersigned cheques, and that was the safeguard, that a second person had to sign every cheque that was going out. These days, of course, it's computer systems. It's much more sophisticated, and we need to try to keep ahead of those who would come in and use computer systems to their own advantage.
Isabel Redmond, John Rowe suggested that this was going to be retrospective, that the ICAC could investigate things that had happened in the past. So are there situations at the moment that you believe should be under the spotlight of an ICAC?
Well, clearly the one at the moment, and we've been seeking some answers in the Parliament in the last week, is the printer cartridges, which have been subject. I think there's now 8 departments involved, and potentially there's been quite a serious level of corruption occurring. But also there's areas, for instance, in the letting of contracts, in the preferring of certain tenderers and all that sort of thing. All of those things need to be open to scrutiny through an ICAC, and the thing we do agree with, of course, is that it needs to be absolutely independent, as Ralph Bonick said.
State Opposition Leader Isabel Redmond, thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure.